What on earth is going on in Alabama? Three of its top elected officials are in hot water. Opening arguments start today in the corruption trial of Speaker of the House Mike Hubbard, who also heads the state's Republican Party. He's accused of using his office to steer business to his media companies. If Speaker Hubbard survives trial, he could play a big role in the possible impeachment of Governor Robert Bentley, who was recorded making sexually explicit comments to a top female aide, a warning for young ears. We might go there. And if Bentley survives impeachment, he might have to pick the successor to Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore, infamous for refusing to move that Ten Commandments statue off government property. Moore now could lose his job for defying federal court rulings on same-sex marriage. But Judge Moore might also have to preside over any impeachment of Governor Bentley or hear Speaker Hubbard's appeal if he's convicted. We need a whiteboard, or one of the most recognized scholars of the South, Wayne Flint, Professor Emeritus of History at Auburn University. Professor, welcome.
Thank you, Robin.
Boy, is your head spinning?
Yeah, but sort of, although having written about Alabama in 10 books for 50 years, and probably not as much as
nothing
everyone
surprises
else.
You. Well, tell us how we got here. This is a pretty much all Republican-run state. But that's primarily because it was very much a Democratic-run state for quite a long time.
And, in fact, your comment may have put this all in the perfect perspective. If power corrupts and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. When the Democrats were in charge from Reconstruction until 2010, which is a really long time, corruption was just absolutely legendary. Racism was rampant. The worst constitution and the longest constitution in the nation was passed by Democrats in 1901. And so they had all the power, and they had the hubris and arrogance that went with it and the corruption that was endemic within a one-party system. Then when the Republicans took over in 2010, promising to reform everything, and now everything was going to be different, they had a veto-proof majority in 1 year. I mean, they went from pretty much a veto-proof Democratic legislature to a veto-proof Republican legislature. And the result was that the Republican Party brought corruption with it.
Well, and you talk about this takeover in 2010. It was Speaker of the House Mike Hubbard, who, again, his corruption trial begins today. He's credited with engineering that takeover. He campaigned on getting rid of the corruption in state government under, you know, there were many Democratic Party scandals in the state. So how did this happen? I mean, there's even emails that are surfacing of him saying, why did I, you know, put all those rules in place about corruption? Because now he's accused of violating them. How did that happen?
Well, if you, for pure irony and hilarity, there's no place in the world better than Alabama. Mm-hmm. Mike Hubbard had campaigned for the State House of Representatives and Speaker of the House by saying he was the architect of the Republican takeover. He emerged as the single most powerful figure in the legislature, and through a combination of very shrewd patronage that he distributed and hard severing of heads for people who did not jump in line within the Republican Party when he snapped his whip, the result was that he completely controlled the legislature. What Mike wants, Mike got.
Well, and we remind ourselves, his trial is just starting. We'll see what happens at the end of it, if he's convicted of anything. But you mentioned Alabama's longest constitution. It's one of the most centralized states. Nothing gets done on a local level unless it's approved at the state house, not even changing a local traffic law. What's that about?
Well, it was very simple. In 1901, when the constitution was passed, there were still very large numbers of African-American voters, nearly 100,000 African-American voters. The result of that was that in many counties in the central part of the state where there was a majority black population, there was also a majority black voting population. Now, oftentimes their votes were stolen or manipulated in such a way as not to effectively count. But at least in theory, they had great power over things like tax policy and who was elected. The result of that was that to guarantee that African Americans, even in majority black counties, could not control tax policy in other major areas. All of the power in the state was basically shifted from the counties to the legislature.
To keep it from African American hands?
To keep it from African American hands in places where there were still a large number of African Americans who could vote. The question then becomes why, more than a century later, do we still not have home rule, by which I mean the right of counties to make decisions for themselves? It is because it gives the legislators tremendous power for corruption because any lobbyist who wants anything done at any level of government does not work with the mayor, does not work with the county commission, does not work with city councils. He works directly with legislators. And so a little money passes under the table and all of a sudden, eureka, whatever local legislation you want suddenly gets passed. In addition to that, Alabama does not have initiative, recall, or referendum. If we did, there would already be a recall petition circulating in Alabama to turn Governor Bentley out of office.
Well, when it comes to Governor Bentley, of course, it was revealed that he was having improper contact with a top female aide. And just a reminder of how connected everyone is in the state, it was revealed by someone who worked in law enforcement who'd issued a report having to do with an investigation into Speaker of the House Mike Hubbard. Governor Bentley got angry that this thing was revealed, and so he fired this aide who turned around and said, oh, yeah, I have these tapes of you. I mean, there may be a lot of back scratching, but there's also, you know, people seem to know each other's secrets.
Correct. I'm reminded of the late great Governor Earl Long of Louisiana, who once said that you can make corruption illegal in Louisiana, but you can never make it unpopular. And in the case of Alabama, everyone in the legislature, everyone in the circle of power in Montgomery is shaking in their boots right now, because if, in fact, the question of the governor groping his political pollster, major advisor, and close personal friend, Ms. Mason, becomes a matter of impeachment, how many other of the 140 Alabama legislators have done more than just grope their assistant? If you really want to have a scandal, you just try to impeach the governor for pinching the rear end and breast of a female aide pollster, as opposed to what is fairly common practice among members of the legislature. So this kind of threat and counter-threat has resulted, for instance, in the Republican majority, which is outraged over the governor's moral conduct, deciding not to process impeachment in proceedings right away. Instead, they're going to have a committee appointed to engage in investigation for an entire year, at which time they will bring back some sort of decision after they know whether Mike Hubbard, in whose trial beginning today. And, of course, the governor is called as a witness either for or against Mike Hubbard. And the governor does not know whether a year from now an acquitted Mike Hubbard will be presiding over the legislature bringing impeachment proceedings. So there is more than a good reason for the governor to be very careful when he testifies.
Boy, there's not too much conflict of interest there. And, Professor, you're having way too much fun. But I'm wondering, what about people in Alabama?
Embarrassed, humiliated. They know we can do a lot better than this. They voted for Republicans believing in their hearts that we could do better than this, that we could have a better state. And now they feel betrayed. And they feel that we're being held up to public humiliation, and they're getting if they listen to Rachel Maddow and MSNBC, or they listen to Saturday Night Live, or they listen to the Colbert Show, which they probably don't. But one thing they do is read their own local newspapers, and the local press has really done a good job of covering the conflicts of interest. And so I would say Alabama is prepared for the very worst, and I think they're probably going to get the very worst, because once this trial begins today, the revelations, if they're based on the same emails that have already been revealed, are just going to be horrific.
That's Wayne Flint, Professor Emeritus of History at Auburn University, weighing in on Alabama. Professor, thank you.
You're very welcome.